Okay, welcome back to Coast AM. David Icke, our special guest tonight. We're talking about his latest work, Phantom Self. And of course, if you've been listening, well, then you know what we're talking about. We'll come back in a moment. We'll take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with David Icke. We'll take your calls. David, the name of the book, Phantom Self, of course, you pick very interesting names for specific reasons. Tell me about this title.
Yeah, Phantom Self refers to the fake self-identity that most people, almost everyone, lives and believes in because of the way that we are programmed to believe in it. Phantom Self is what we call our name, our income bracket, our job, our race, our religion. It's the five sense version of self. But what we really are is awareness, a state of being aware. And we can be aware on the level of believing phantom self is who we are, or we can be aware in a much more expanded way and realize that phantom self is only what we're experiencing. It's what our awareness is experiencing. And when the body ceases to function, then our point of attention moves. Our awareness, point of awareness moves from the body, which is focusing our attention in this narrow band of visible light, and starts to experience a much more expanded awareness. This is what people are describing in near-death experiences, where, of course, millions of people now have had this near-death experience when their body dies and then is brought back to life. And in the intervening period, they are experiencing a vastly expanded awareness. And that is the self, that is the true self. And what this manipulation wants to do and systematically sets out to do, the whole system is constructed to do this, is to pull our point of attention and observation out of infinite awareness and into phantom self, which is merely a focus of attention on these on this frequency band we call the world. And once you are pulled into a perception of phantom self, then all you can see is limitation. All you can see is I can't. All you can see is it's not possible. Little me comes from phantom self perception. But when you expand your awareness beyond the phantom self, you have a self-identity that you are infinite awareness having that experience. You are not the experience. It's not what you are. It's what you're experiencing. Then you start to see the world in a completely different way. Instead of just seeing pixels, you now start to see pictures because you're in this world in terms of your body. You're in this frequency band. But you're not of this world in terms of where your point of attention is observing the world from. That is a dramatically different way of experiencing reality. And from that more expanded sense of self, from which comes expanded awareness, you can see things and how they fit together in this reality that you can't if you are in the world and of it, because you have bought the myth that phantom self is who we are.
Couple guests I've had over the years have talked about transhumanism, David, and you also mentioned transhumanism. And what is your take on that?
Well, that's a good question at a very good time, because it takes me on from where I've just been. There's a chapter in Phantom Self which is called transphantomism, which is, of course, is a play on transhumanism for a very good reason. We have been held in servitude, perceptual servitude, up to this point by the manipulation of a belief in phantom self, of a self-identity in phantom self. What transhumanism is about, hence the title of the chapter, Transphantomism, is to take that a massive step further. What is happening, and they're actually openly talking about this now, people like Ray Kurzweil, etc., this Google executive, this salesman for Frankenstein, pushing this transhumanist agenda. They're talking about the fact that humans will be connected to what they call the cloud, He's talking about by 2030. And the idea is, and this is what I've been talking about, what he calls the cloud, I've been writing about for years in terms of a technological sub-reality. They want to get technology inside the body that will connect the conscious mind, phantom self, as I call it, to this cloud, which, as Kurzweil is openly saying now, will do our thinking for us, eventually our entirety of thinking, he's saying. This is a quote I've just found here. He said, our thinking will be a hybrid of biological and non-biological thinking. Humans will be able to extend their limitations and think in the cloud. We're going to put gateways to the cloud in our brains. We're going to gradually merge and enhance ourselves. In my view, that's the nature of being human. We transcend our limitations. And he goes on, as the technology becomes vastly superior to what we are, then the small proportion that is still human gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it's utterly negligible. Now, they are openly talking about this because they're selling it as humans becoming superhuman. The truth is, the idea is to make humans subhuman, no longer human as we know them, by putting that firewall in between conscious mind and infinite awareness in the form of technology connecting the conscious mind to the cloud, which will do our thinking for us through artificial intelligence. And you know, I explained in the talks in America and in Phantom Self how I'm looking at artificial intelligence, and what I'm seeing is the very force that's been manipulating humanity all this period that we talked about earlier. What we're building, or what they're building, or we're being manipulated to build, is a technological vehicle for this manipulating force to take over everything. This whole CIA idea of the Internet of Things, where everything is connected to the Internet, including the human mind, through the cloud, is about making this artificial intelligence, i.e. this force, I would suggest. See, we keep hearing about artificial intelligence running everything. I don't hear people saying, well, hold on a minute, what is this artificial intelligence? Ultimately, I'm suggesting very strongly, it's this manipulative force, which will then be controlling everything, including the human thought and human perception on a level that's never been done even up to this point. So this transhumanist agenda is absolutely fantastically important, because it's basically the completion of the job of completely hijacking human perception and human awareness. And what's been happening is we've been taken down this road, like here, kitty, 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 step by step. They start off by introducing what I call holdables, like smartphones and tablets, and getting people addicted to that. My goodness me, they've not achieved that, have they? And then you move them on, you move from holdables to wearables. Now we're on the body. The idea is to go in the body, but we're on the body now. This is your smartwatch, your Google Glass, your Bluetooth. And the next thing is implantables, rather, which is to get inside the body. And I was reading an article in Forbes magazine last year where they're predicting in 3 or 4 years, these implantables will be commonplace. And once that happens, what do those implantables connect us to? And it's this fake technologically generated sub-reality, which they call the cloud, which is designed to do our thinking for us and completely take over our perception of everything. So that people need to start looking at where this technological revolution explosion is going, because it's not about, you know, the latest bit of kit from Apple or the latest bit of kit from somebody. Oh, got the latest thing. It's great, isn't it? It's taking us down a road to not being human anymore. And of course, what they're also working on is creating synthetic humans to completely create a synthetic race. And who was basically talking about that in 1932? Aldous Huxley in Brave New World. So these things are massive dots, which, when connected to other dots, show us a very, very different picture of the world to the one that we are told to believe in.
Let's take some calls here for you now, David. Let's go to our wild card line, John in St. Louis. Go ahead, John.
Good evening, Mr. Ike. It's an honor to talk to you. Thank you for your frank, honest, openness that it inspires so many of us the world. I say that for all your friends and followers. Thank you for your honesty. I was wondering what you feel the shift of 2012 means and the meaning of the word ascension. How do you view that?
Right. Well, I can have a lot to say about this. First of all, right at the start of my conscious awakening in 1990, which I talked to George about earlier, what was coming through, what happened is I saw that psychic because I chose to go to see her because of what was happening to me. But what happened immediately after that is I met another number of psychics, not because I went to find them, but because the synchronicity of life brought them to me in various situations. And there was a common theme, and that was that there was a vibrational change coming, what I would see now as a frequency information change coming, that was going to awaken humanity from its coma. The people who were most awake would be affected first, but then eventually people solid gold asleep then would start to see the world in a different way. The veil would start to lift for them. And I called this change Truth Vibrations, hence the name of my first book, because another common theme was that this vibrational change, frequency change, was going to bring to the surface all that had been hidden. Now, when you look at 1990, what we know now compared with 1990, and as I'm experiencing around the world, the number of people, people you wouldn't even have thought it would happen to, who are awakening to question the world and accept the possibility of concepts that are way, way out of what they have been told to believe is real in the postage stamp normal. This Truth Vibrations phenomenon is absolutely happening. It's happening all over the world. I mean, I'm going to be talking in Romania in November.
My gosh.
Romania. I've never been to Romania.
You're everywhere.
Yeah, and it's going to be a simultaneously translated talk. And there's going to be 4,000 people there. This is a global phenomenon that's happening here, and it fits exactly with what I was told in 1990 was going to happen as a result of this vibrational change, which is breaking up the density of people's energetic perception. And the other question about ascension, you know, this is the way I've always seen it, really. People talk about ascending. They talk about awakening. And they are seeking enlightenment. But for me, we are enlightened. That's our natural state. We are infinite awareness, all expressions of the same infinite awareness, having different experiences. The idea I would suggest is not to seek enlightenment. It is to remove the barriers between the conscious mind and the enlightenment that we are. And these are all the layers of perception programming. That I mean, if you look at it, it's an absolute program that we go through from cradle to grave. You come out of the womb, and you're immediately influenced in terms of your perceptions of everything, including perceptions of self and self-identity, by your parents who've been through the process you're about to go through. You then go in this ridiculously short time after coming into this world, you are at a desk with an authority figure representing the state, telling you when you have to be there, when you can leave, when you can eat, what is and what isn't, what's possible, what's not possible, etc. And that goes on right the way through your formative years into higher education. You then go out and you might be a journalist or a lawyer or a a scientist or a politician or a doctor, and you've taken into those areas that core programming of reality, what I call the postage stamp normal, that have been uploaded to you throughout your life since you came into this world. You have peer pressure from people who've been through that same process that are telling you that your postage stamp version of normal is real and true because they've been through it and they've bought it. And also, you've got the mainstream media pouring out information and explanations of the world 24/7 based on that same postage stamp normal download that they've taken on, as well as the people that are reading and watching what they do. And then you've got this self-protection mechanism for this postage stamp normal, in which if you step off the postage stamp and you start questioning it or challenging it, or you have a different version of reality to the postage stamp normal, then those on the postage stamp start ridiculing you or seeing you as dangerous or mad. It's a download. And what this download does is it puts in these perceptual programs, these perceptual energetic layers, these frequency layers, which are based on a belief in that postage stamp normal, which is a very low vibrational state. Thus, we live our lives in this perceptual bubble, and we're not hearing and being influenced by the greater self. Once we get a blank sheet of paper and say, okay, I'm now going to only accept into my reality what I feel is right and what can be justified, not just because some guy with letters after his name says it. Once you completely reevaluate your self-identity and come from the point of, no, I'm not David Icke, that's my experience, I am infinite awareness having that experience, then your whole perception starts to expand. It works. It really does. And you start to see the world in a different way. So it's not about becoming enlightened. We are. It's about removing the barriers that are put into disconnect us from that level of what people call enlightenment.
Jeff in Culver City, California. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George and Mr. Icke. You're one of my favorite guests, Mr. Icke. Sir,
I had this
weird dream in 2014 where I was wandering in my old birthplace neighborhood. I seen some friends and asked them, what year is it? They said it was year 2020. I then groggily and sleepily asked them, since I knew I was asleep and dreaming in this dream, I asked them, who is the president? They did not know. It was as if we had no president in 2020. My question is, Mr. Icke, given the fact that we have this extremely strange and bizarre presidential election with the Clintons yet again, with all their baggage, running for an unprecedented third term, very sneakily and craftily on their part, and a reality show billionaire who is absolutely outrageous and bombastic with his commentary and diatribes, Mr. Icke, do you believe that if either of these people become president, they will basically be a one-term president, and perhaps my dream that I had in 2014 foretold this?
And hold on to that, David, because we're going to take a break. Then we'll come back and have you answer that question from our friend Jeff in Culver City, California, and then the rest of the calls on Coast to Coast AM. So we shall be right back. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, if you would, and definitely follow us on Twitter. On our next Coast to Coast program, Bob Mitchell joins us as we talk about alien encounters. Make sure you're part of that program. And then we're going to be talking with a magician teacher of the ritual on Coast to Coast. Sounds like fun. And then Friday, of course, a special guest, and then open lines as we take you into the Labor Day weekend. We will have a live program for you Monday night. So after you're done having your fun, make sure you're listening to your favorite radio station. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final calls with David Icke, his latest book, Phantom Self, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Our final segment with David Icke. David, the previous caller, Jeff from Culver City, California, wanted to know if you thought that either one of these possibilities, Clinton or Trump, would be one-term presidents. What do you think?
Well, there's probably a very good chance, because either of them are going to be catastrophic. I mean, Clinton's job in her term would be to take us into a war with Russia. You can see in her rhetoric, when she actually does do public appearances these days, where she's demonizing and focusing on Russia and Putin. And so she'll be catastrophic. Trump would be catastrophic, too. I mean, the man's barely one-dimensional. And whatever he says now, it doesn't mean he's going to do any of it when he comes to power, necessarily. He'll follow the agenda as well. And because of his divisive nature and the divisive nature of what he's saying, is the possibility that he would create some form of civil war in the United States by creating such a polarity between different groups of Americans. So on that basis alone, I would think there was a very good chance that there would be one term. But, you know, looking at the positive side, a number of things are happening which are getting more and more people to look at the whole thing in a different way. I mean, Obama did as a favor in a way on in this area by putting out how he stood for change and how different he was. And then it was two terms of business as usual, in which the agenda, which started with Bush and the neocons of the Project for the New American Century, has just continued under the Obama administration, because he's a puppet, just like George Bush, the son, was a puppet. And Clinton is a massive puppet. I mean, you know, when this hidden hand says jump, she breaks the Olympic high jump record. I mean, that's how they get into power. And there's no way that Trump is not a puppet either. But what this has done is create this massive polarity in America, which suits this hidden hand agenda. And let's not forget this. Clinton needs Trump, because let's not forget also that Trump is an old family friend of the Clintons. And Clinton is...
At least he used to be. I'm not sure anymore.
Huh? Well, I mean, this is what we need to do also, is just to suspend what we hear people say and just look at it from a bigger picture point of view. I mean, I've met politicians in Britain who in public absolutely laid into each other, absolutely vicious. And they're mates behind the scenes. There was none of the viciousness between them at all. If you look at Clinton, she's such an almost impossible bad sell because of her history, because of the endless corruption that's come to light, because of the things that have been connected to the Clintons, extraordinary things. She's a terrible sell. If the Republicans had someone who was in any way credible and in any way was talking to the American people rather than to one area of it, mm-hmm. Then she would have absolutely no chance. So, you know, it's interesting that this alleged maverick should come to power through the Republican Party just at a time when the other candidate desperately needs someone to keep shooting himself in both feet. I think there are many, many questions about what is happening in this bizarre circus and why it's happening. But we'll see at the election what happens. I mean, Clinton is really struggling with health, quite clearly.
Yeah, and something's going on there.
Oh, something big time's going on, George. Yeah, and so there are many things we don't know yet. But we'll see when the election comes. But you know, just because people lay into each other doesn't necessarily mean that's the dynamic between them somewhere else. And like I say, Clinton needs Trump or she's got no chance.
All right, let's go to Harvey in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Harv, thank you. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Ike, can you hear me?
Hello, Harvey. Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, Harv.
Okay. On YouTube, you have a video, Reptilian Agenda by David Icke, complete, part 2.1.1. The chieftain talks to you and describes the alien being called a white. And, of course, he talked to you about the reptilians being back in there.
Yeah.
I have been given the video. This alien being that's called a white is at an accident. The Channel 5 news crew went to videotape one night, and the body parts inside this car are not human. I would love to be able to get this to you somehow. I've been waiting years for you to come on, George Norrie, and hopefully here I am, that you will listen to me and let me try to get it to you somehow.
Okay, well, I don't know that George could help there. If you could leave an email address with the program, and it will be passed on to me, and I'll contact you.
We'll do that. As a matter of fact, we'll put him on hold. Harvey, I want you to talk to Tom. Tom will get your information. He'll get it to David, and we'll see what happens. And if it's Blockbuster Video, let us know. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go to Thomas now in La Jolla, California. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call. And David, I first encountered your work. Specifically, I saw your video in which you interviewed Zulu shaman Credo Mutwa.
Yeah.
And I was very intrigued. It was just a fabulous, marvelous interview. And then I read your book, The Biggest Secret. And my question to you, David, is in 2009, there was an American television show called V. And it ran two seasons, but the networks pulled the plug on V near the end of the second season, even though it had millions, literally millions of people watching the television show. And it covered many of the same themes of reptilian infiltration, staged wars, stage-managed terrorism, etc. And I was wondering if you had ever seen that show before it got canceled. And there were rumors that it got canceled because it came too close to the truth, and not because it had, well, it literally had millions of viewers at the time.
Well, I did see it, yeah. And there have been a number of programs that have had this theme, movies that have had this theme. V, of course, dealt with reptilian entities hiding behind human form, and they appeared to be like humans, but actually inside they were reptilian. And of course, in those days, with I'm talking about the original V. I think they did an update as well. This is probably the one you're talking about. I saw the original, and in those days, they were pulling like latex off their faces to reveal the fact that they were reptilian. But in reality, what it is a hybrid bloodline which has dual DNA. And as I was talking about earlier, this reality is not physical. It's not solid. It's holographic. It's illusory solid, and therefore, when people shapeshift between from one thing to another, they are not shifting physically. They are shifting energetically in terms of information fields. So the observer observes the human field and sees a human because that's what their brain decodes. And then when the other field steps forward and becomes the dominant one, then suddenly they are decoding the other field, and suddenly the person doesn't look human. And to the observer, someone has changed from a human to a reptilian and back again. But actually, it's not happening solidly because there is no solid, and it couldn't happen solidly, of course. And a lot of people dismiss this idea of reptilian infiltration behind the human form because they say, you know, you can't shift from a solid body to another solid body. No, you can't, but that's not what's happening. One of the really great representations of actually what's happening is They Live, the John Carpenter film.
Yes.
Where these non-human entities were infiltrating human society by hiding behind human form. Exactly what is going on. I've been writing about all these years, and I was interested to see an interview with the star of They Live, Roddy Piper, a couple of years ago, was it? Maybe a bit longer, in which he mentioned my work and said that They Live was not a movie, it was a documentary. And it, brilliantly portrays what is actually going on. And then you look at a movie like Avatar, where you had the concept again of the Na'vi, the blue people society, being infiltrated by people that were hiding behind Na'vi blue people bodies when they weren't Na'vi at all. So this concept has been portrayed in a number of movies and programs, and it's absolutely what is happening. These people ultimately that are running the world are not human. They appear to be human, but they're not.
David, let's take a few more calls, and then time is going to get us. First-time caller Dan in Des Moines, Iowa. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Glad to hear that you're on the show and talking the things you're talking. I was wondering if either you had heard Hillary's speech today and the soft disclosure on our space program that she kind of let slip.
I didn't hear that. No, what'd she say?
She mentioned needing money and funding our space program along with our military. And she brought up outer space like twice. So.
And she's been very interested in extraterrestrials, David. But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I think you know, once you get to the level of the Clintons and the Bushes, they actually know all this. You know, what they say in public is one thing, but what they know in the background is another. They know that this force is manipulating human society. They know that they're a part of it. So whatever they say about disclosure is for public consumption alone, because they already know, because they're part of it. And that's why in a country of more than 300 million people, the Clintons and the Bushes have dominated the presidency for such long periods. It's because that they are insider in knowledge of what's going on, and thus they are magnificent representatives in politics, in the public arena, for this force. And they know that. They're not people who are unknowing puppets. They absolutely know what they're doing.
Are we ever going to get this turned around, David, where real people are back in control?
Well, you know, I'm incredibly encouraged by what I'm seeing. I know, you know, if people live their lives in their local communities and interact only with the same people much of the time, it might seem that this change is not happening. But as someone who travels around the world and is contacted and interacts with people all around the world all the time, there is something phenomenal happening. And that phenomenal happening is human perception is changing in vast numbers of people. And from that, everything else comes. And I'm greatly encouraged. I've been saying for a long time that 2016, 17, 2018 are very, very important years in all this.
That's good.
In terms of where it goes. And there are many challenges to come because these people will not go quietly. But I'm very encouraged that, we've started on the journey of turning the tide or in the process of turning the tide. Long way to go. But when I look back 26 years and I look at what's happening now, it's phenomenal compared with then.
David, where do people get the book Phantom Self?
Phantom Self. On the shelf, yeah.
On the shelf, that's right. We want them to take it off the shelf.
They can get it through davidicke.com, and it won't be sent from England. It will be sent from within America, and thus they'll get it quick, and the postage will be American postage, not from England. So, and they'll get it very quickly. They'll get it within 24.
All right, straight from your website then.
Yep.
All right, very good. Phantom Self. Let's go to a couple more callers. Jay in Flora Home, Florida. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much, Mr. Ike. It is such a privilege, and I apologize. There's so much more I wanted to say to you, but I know we don't have time, so I'm hoping you will let me reach out to you and communicate with you further. So I'm going to sum this up as quick as I can. I wanted to know if Tina Turner is one of them, if you know what I mean by them, because that's how I first discovered you accidentally by researching her. I want to know if you have any advice on how we can fight ELFs or low frequencies and raise our vibration and frequencies, if part of the perception, how would this relate to the Bible, and more specifically the Ten Commandments and the Torah, and me being bisexual to homosexuals and what it says about that, where hell plays into this, if that's the lower astral plane, and how will we tell the difference if it's the enemy or adversary, negative force that's influencing us or trying to drive fear out of us versus God or angels helping us?
All right, let's see what you could do there, David, with about a minute and a half left. Start with Tina Turner.
Jay, that good idea. Where do I start? Let me just pick up one thing. Everything is perception, because perception equals frequency. If you're in a low perceptual state, you're in depression, or you're in fear, or you're in anxiety, then you are generating and operating at a certain frequency. When you open your heart and you have a self-identity that I am infinite awareness, having an experience, and that I am eternal, and whatever experience is happening to me is just an experience. There'll be another experience along in a minute. Then your frequency, because of your expanded state of self-identity, creates an expanded frequency, and therefore lower frequency situations, like, for instance, ELF waves and stuff like that, they can't impact upon you in the same way. The idea of these ELF waves and these low frequency emotional states that we're manipulated into is to pull us into that frequency, because this force, this manipulative force, operates in a certain frequency band. It is so distorted, it is so inverted, it cannot operate on higher frequencies, only on low frequencies. And the idea is to pull us into its frequency, pull us into its frequency layer. And that's what it does with war, with suffering, with deprivation, with hostility, with divide and rule. And if we come from another point of self-identity, then we'll come from another point of frequency. And not only that.
That's the clock for us, David. We are out of time. David Icke, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Tom will get you the information on that caller and his video. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.